Guard the freedom of ideas at all costs. Be alert that dictators have always played on the natural human tendency to blame others and to oversimplify. And don't regard yourself as a guardian of freedom unless you respect and preserve the rights of people you disagree with to free, public, unhampered expression. And this week's opening quote comes from Gerald K. O'Neill. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And I would like to dedicate this show to the memory of Michael C. Rupert, ex-police officer, whistleblower, author, editor of From the Wilderness newsletter and radio host, who apparently took his own life on the 13th of April, 2014. You did humanity a great service with all of your work, and you'll be sorely missed. It's fascinating and somewhat disturbing, indeed something of a concern, though interesting nonetheless, to step back and see just how far mankind has strayed from their path. And truly one of the most concerning things about our current situation, our current dilemma, if you will, is the realization of just how far we have strayed and what sort of an effort it is going to take for humanity to return to their path, to return to what we could and should be. And one of the biggest hurdles, of course, is opening people's minds enough to the possibility that things could be different. It's very, very difficult to awaken most of the people in the world today, and it's a concern. It is a real concern, because even with the people who are waking up to what is happening in the world, the machine of state just seems to be ramping up and gaining traction to an incredible degree, and it's just steamrolling over everything, regardless of how many people are waking up in our society. And it's a concern, folks. It's a real concern, because even the people who do wake up to the fact that this corporate machine, which we euphemistically refer to as government, is completely out of control, they still don't know what to do about it. And even if they wake up to the fact that the government is out of control, they still don't realize what we really could have. They don't realize what we truly are. Because they've been trained not to think outside of the box. They've been trained to only ever think within scientific parameters that are provided for them by the system. And they can't comprehend of anything that doesn't fit within their little boxed version of reality, the reality that they've been trained to view as possible. And they can't think outside of that. They really can't. And people can't seem to be able to comprehend their own importance and how much their actions can affect things. Because your actions can affect things, folks. It doesn't matter if you think you're just a little person. You're not. There's no such thing as little people. Well, I suppose there are, but we're all little people. Everybody is just a little person. Even the controllers, Barack Obama, is just a little person. He's not any different than anybody else. It's just that people perceive him to have authority. And people don't realize how much their actions can affect things. And so people don't ever spend the time attempting to improve the world or improve reality. But we all can, folks. We can all make a difference. And you should not underestimate yourself and think that your actions will not make a difference or cannot make a difference. I mean, indeed, folks, we are all the architects of our own future. We are the architects of humanity's future, collectively. We are collectively, each of us, each of the individuals on the planet, when put together, are the architects of human destiny. We are the architects of the future that will be created through the actions that we take every minute of every day. And each of us are only here for a short time, and I think it's important that we make our actions count. And we make the time count for something, the time that we have here. Because we're only given a short time here. And in that time, we all have the opportunity to make a difference. That's why it's so pointless in the pursuit of material possessions and personal wealth and the personal accumulation of stuff. It doesn't mean anything, folks. You're only here for a little while. What are you going to do with all this stuff? Once you're old enough to realize that you could have actually made a difference with your life, and you look back and you see that all you did, the only difference you made was that you collected all of this stuff, which doesn't mean anything. And much of the planet was raped and abused, and people were made homeless, and people were discarded along the way, and we're all taught to profit from everybody else in order for us to all have all of this stuff. Like I've often said, the creation of the first world, all the stuff the first world had, is what created the poverty of the third world. We created all of the oppression. We created all of the homelessness. We created all of the environmental destruction and all of the degradation of not only our society, but the earth and humanity as well, through our accumulation of stuff. And it's meaningless. And it's interesting, folks. It's interesting and it's fascinating to see where we are, to see the value that we place on all of this stuff. And it's concerning to, as I said, see just how far we have to go back to get back on our path. And the situation of the world today, I mean, with the alternate media, if you will, if that's the name that I can give it, I wonder sometimes if the people who populate the alternate media actually realize the seriousness of the situation that we are facing in the world today. Some of the squabbling and profiteering that I see from alternate media sources is very disturbing. It really is. And as I said, folks, it's all about the accumulation of stuff, and the stuff doesn't mean anything. The prestige doesn't mean anything. The celebrity status doesn't mean anything. None of it means anything, folks. You know, what's important is the future and the actions that we take every minute of every day to bring about a better future, to rectify the situation that mankind is currently in, to help people snap out of their daze, their stupor, their programming. Because most of the world seems to be programmed, and unfortunately a lot of the alternate media also seems to be programmed. It's been very revealing the last couple of years, folks. It really has. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I think the 2012 date that everybody thought nothing happened on December 21st, 2012, I think a lot shifted on that day, and I think things have been revealing themselves ever since. I think the veil is being lifted, ladies and gentlemen, on many, many aspects of not only our society, but also on the alternate version of our society as well, the alternate media, the alternate reality that people offer others. I think a lot has been lifted. And I'm certainly seeing a lot of things revealing themselves. On a brighter side, I'm also seeing things revealing themselves to the individuals in our world as well. I'm seeing many people putting down their stuff, putting down their barriers, putting down the programming that they've had. I've seen many people running religious programs suddenly putting down their religious differences and embracing people from other faiths. And I've seen people putting down their racial differences, their national differences. I've seen people realizing that we are all in this together, that each person is a truly unique expression of creation, and people beginning to view their lives as something more artistic than what they have. And I think that if we can do that, that's how we can change things, folks. If we can re-examine ourselves and re-examine what our life is and what it means to be alive, start reapplying the art of our lives to our lives and the art of ourselves to ourselves, then things can change. I think if we can approach things from that perspective and we can view ourselves and our actions every day, every moment as being an art form, then the world will shift very quickly. Things will change very quickly. You know, with all the problems that we face, folks, we face so many, but all of them could change. All of them could be healed in a single moment if people spontaneously put down their stuff and turn to embrace those around them and view the world from the perspective of In Lakesh. If we did that, the world can change in a single moment. That's the beauty and the simplicity of our situation. And for me, it's truly one of the most frustrating things about our situation as well. Because with all of the myriad of problems we face, all the myriad of symptoms we face, the myriad of symptoms that affect us, the realization that all could be changed in a single moment is truly profound. And it's frustrating for me because I can see how simple it would actually be to heal the world in a single day if people would simply pay attention to their surroundings. That's the hard part, folks, is getting people to pay attention to their surroundings. Most people don't because, unfortunately, most people in Western society are programmed not to. They're programmed by their television, they're programmed by the food that they eat, by the newspapers that they read, and by the toxins, the fluoride, and the wireless soup that they're swimming around in. But undoubtedly, folks, fluoride is one of the biggest culprits when attempting to address the current human dilemma. That should be the number one priority of everybody, to get fluoride out of our water supply. I mean, I know we have many other issues that are just as important to deal with as well, but it's very difficult to wake people up to reality and to help people shift their perspective of the world when their senses have been so dulled from years of ingesting fluoridated water. Like I said, folks, we have a long way to go to get back, but removing fluoride from our water system is definitely one of the most important things we should do. Well, it would certainly be a good starting point anyway. But look, as I mentioned earlier, things are really being ramped up here. They're being ramped up not only in Australia, they're being ramped up all around the world. The situation that's unfolding in Ukraine, the things that Israel has been getting away with, what's going on in America, what's going on in England. It's happening everywhere, folks. What's going on in Canada, New Zealand, it's being ramped up all around the planet. And with some of the infighting and profiteering and weirdness that I'm seeing going on in the alternate media, I begin to wonder, as I said, whether these people truly comprehend the seriousness of the global situation. How many of them are simply out there to make a name for themselves and out there to make money, out there to spread disinformation, create disunity? And how many of them are actually working to bring about positive change? I think there are many who like the concept of a hidden hand. I think there are many listeners out there who, when listening to the alternate media, often get trapped into the sensationalist approach to certain issues, or any issues, really. There are many people in the alternate research community that very much sensationalize things, very much like to point the finger at the hidden hand and point the finger at the global elite and talk about all of the negative stuff that's going on. But very few people seem to actually want to empower humanity to bring about positive change. Many people seem to just want to bring the negative information to the world and then shout, "I told you so," when things go wrong. And I find it to be a very disturbing trend, because we are in a dire situation, folks. We really are, as a global family, as a human species. We are in a very, very dire situation. And yet, as dire as it is, it's still nothing that can't be rectified. We still do have solutions. And look, when I say that there are many people who like the concept of a hidden hand and like to point the finger, of course, there is a hidden hand and there are people to point the finger at, and I'm not wishing to sound like an apologist for the elite, because that's certainly not the case. But there are many people out there who are programmed into the matrix, if you will, who don't believe that there is a hidden hand. So discussing such things with these people really is counterproductive. What you need to do is to point people to obvious things in their own lives which would indicate that they're being ripped off and they're being scammed by the people that they employ to manage their infrastructure for them. You see, even if there is a ruling hand, and even if there is a hidden hand, even if the earth is being strip mined by aliens, whatever the problem is and whoever you want to point the finger at, the only way the situation can be dealt with or rectified with any type of effectiveness is via grassroots action undertaken by the people themselves. You see, the people have to rediscover themselves and start making a difference in their own community and realize that we are all in this together, and whatever the problem is, whoever the ruling hand is and whatever the ultimate controller is, the only way anything is ever going to change is if the people on the ground simply stop complying with it. Non-compliance, folks. And you're not going to get that unless you have respect. You're not going to get that unless you have an empowered community, a community that is willing to respect each other enough to stand by each other. You know, people that are intelligent enough to see that there is a problem for a start, so we come back to getting the fluoride out of the water. That would really help with that. But then the people, even with the fluoride out of the water, people have to take the moral high ground in all that they do. And if any legislation is in place which causes you to deviate from the moral high ground, then such legislation is not law and is entitled to no obedience. Because if laws are put in place which are not moral and are not just, then these laws not only should be dismissed, but the people who enacted the legislation should also be dismissed. Because we need a system that serves the people, that serves the earth, that is right and just and moral. That's what we need. And we don't have that, folks. So we have to approach it from a grassroots level by discovering who and what we are. And that's the only way we can stand up against anything. And that's why I've continued to beat this same drum for so very long now. I mean, we can attempt to find ways through the system, and God knows we've been trying to do so for many years now, folks, but ultimately it always leads back to the same point. It always leads us back to square one, because we've been trying it for years, and all that's happened as a result is the world has gotten steadily worse. As I mentioned last week, the police here in Australia are becoming absolutely out of control. These are very, very violent individuals, folks. And again, it's not all of them, but all of the new inductees, the riot squad that we're seeing. At the gas protest that I went and spoke at, I did actually speak at the gas protest at Bentley last week, too, folks. And at the protest, they informed me that when the wellhead comes and arrives on the scene, the government intends to bring 600 riot police with the gas well to protect the gas well. So this is how far they are prepared to go to allow this corporate rape of our country to continue. And the problem we have here in Australia is that the politicians really can't stop the gas wells from going ahead. They really cannot stop the coal seam gas mining in this country because they are already committed. Most of the deals were actually made by the Howard regime. That's right, folks. John Howard, little maggot Magoo, pre-sold most of this gas to China. In fact, I believe they've already paid for it. And we are yet to extract the gas from the ground to give them. And so the government is not going to back down on coal seam gas extraction from this country, regardless of how many people they impoverish, regardless of how many people protest, regardless of how much of the water table they destroy, because they have made a deal with the devil and they've already sold the gas that they have not yet extracted. So therefore, our only hope to be able to turn this around in this country is for the people of the country to stand up and do something about it. And really the only way, the only hope we've got of doing anything about it is to dismiss the Australian government and replace it with people of integrity. And we could do this, folks. It may sound like a drastic measure to dismiss the government, and indeed it is a drastic measure, but we have the ability to do it. All we have to do is stand up as a nation and express an overall loss of confidence in this government's ability to govern. And all we have to do is look at what they're doing to Australia to see the need to do this, folks. And we can be politically correct if we want, but what we're ultimately talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, is our lives. We are talking about the well-being and the life and future of every single person in this country. Because if they destroy the water table in this country, then it's all over for the people. And the politicians who did it and the media whores who supported their actions are all very, very well paid, and they will simply run off to the bank and go live overseas and leave the Australian people holding the bag and leave the Australian people to die and suffer on their own. And they do not care, folks. They do not give one hoot about the Australian people. They don't care about you, and they're quite happy to get paid as much as they can, destroy the country, and then run off and live in the Cayman Islands. So don't think that we're going to find the answer from political circles. We are only going to find it in the hearts of the people. And the real problem that we're facing in this country is the utter criminality of the police force and the failure of the police force to address the criminal actions of government, to address the threat to national security that is coal seam gas mining, and to stand up and defend their country and protect the water table and hold these criminals accountable for their actions. That's one of the biggest problems that we have, folks, the utter and complete failure of the Australian police to actually uphold the law. They don't uphold the law anymore, folks. All they do is support corporate corruption, and the Australian police are one of the most instrumental forces in the destruction of this country. And as much as it pains me to have to say that, folks, it's absolutely true. These people do not defend the country. They do not support what is right. They do not take the moral high ground. All they do is support corporate corruption. And this can be clearly seen by the fact that there's going to be 600 riot squad defending a company which is coming into a place to destroy the groundwater. And like I said, folks, the government isn't going to back down on this issue because they've already pre-sold most of the gas to China. And this creates a real problem for the people of Australia, the fact that the criminal Howard regime did this. They also did it in the same year that the country was disarmed, folks. So I'd say that once they signed the papers for the gas wells and then looked at the figures, they thought, oh my God, we better take the guns from the Australian people because there's no way they're going to let this happen. And I would suggest that that's what the Port Arthur massacre was about. And that's why the guns were removed from the Australian people. The one saving grace that Australia has at the moment in regard to this deal that was made by the Howard regime with China is that the recent oil find at Cooper Pedy, 233 billion barrels of oil, may provide us some leeway in as much as perhaps we can supply China with oil for reneging on our gas deal. That's the thing. But the Australian government isn't reneging on it, and they never will renege on the deal. They'll just continue to go the way they're going until they have impoverished the entire population and destroyed the entire artesian basin in this country and polluted all the groundwater. And then they'll just run off to the bank and they'll go and get nice homes in the Caribbean somewhere and leave the rest of Australia holding the bag. That's why it's up to the people. These politicians don't care, folks. They don't care about you. They don't care about the country. They only care about themselves and the corporate masters that they serve. And certainly no politicians have exemplified this fact more clearly than the actions of Tony Abbott, the current Prime Minister of this country, who is a natural-born sociopath and has utter and ruthless disregard for anybody apart from himself and the corporate masters that he serves. So that's the problem we have in this country, folks. The problem is that the government can't stop coal seam gas mining if they tried. They simply can't because they're too scared to. So the only people that can stop it are the people of the country themselves. And this will only occur if we have enough numbers to be able to declare a loss of confidence in this government's ability to govern, and we start action with which to dismiss this government. And it needs to be done before the wells are completed and before the pipeline is completed. Because once the wells are in place and the pipeline is pumping gas, then there's going to be no way to stop it. And by that time, we will have destroyed the Great Artesian Basin, and the groundwater in this country will be polluted, and that will be the end of the population of this country. The only people that will be required here, the only people that will be able to live here, will be those who run the mines, those who run the government, and those who run the hospitality industries. Pretty soon, folks, at this rate, I'd say the only jobs that are going to be left in this country will be in gas and coal mining, and perhaps mechanics that fix up their equipment, and police who control the starving peasants. You see, that's the position that we're in, ladies and gentlemen. It truly is. And there just don't seem to be many people who seem to truly see the seriousness of our situation. You know, what I see in the alternative media, all the squabbling and bickering and infighting and all the stuff that's going on, I just don't see people really addressing things from a realistic perspective. People don't seem to be putting the focus into what is important. Admittedly, it's difficult for many people to see what is important. It's very difficult for people to see the forest for the trees. It really is. And even when you can see that the system is fiction and you can see that we could fix the whole thing by stepping outside of it, it's very difficult for people to grasp the concept of this. Very difficult for the average person to grasp the concept of it anyway. So yes, folks, the fictional nature of this system is truly one of the hardest things for people to see. It's one of the hardest concepts for people to grasp. The fact that they are actually free and that the only thing that constrains them are words on paper and a meme that they believe is real. This is just a very difficult thing for most minds to grasp. Even when I went to the gas rally the other day and I spoke at Bentley, you know, previously I'd spoken to you about forming a grand jury to deal with the problem. When I got to the well at Bentley, I saw just how difficult it would be to do something like this, because a grand jury would require a very, very large amount of the population to want to do it. So what became apparent to me is that we need to take a series of steps to get to a situation where we can enact a grand jury. And ultimately, I think that's probably the only way we're going to deal with things in the end, is with a grand jury. But we can't simply jump to that place from square one to grand jury. What we need to do, really, is charge these politicians with abuse of office and take the case to the High Court and make it as public as possible. But even by doing so, I don't believe we will find remedy in the High Court. But if we make the case as public as possible, if we don't find remedy, then the people of the country will be able to visibly view the failure of the system. And that is really what we need, because at that point we will have a large enough public profile to warrant the formation of a grand jury. And perhaps we could do it then. But the real thing, the real issue in this is gaining the public profile that we need, getting enough people in the country aware of what is actually going on here. So unfortunately, most of the people in the cities just don't want to look. They're programmed by their televisions. They think these farmers are just extremists, and they just believe word for word all of the drivel that the television tells them. They're too busy watching pop shows and soap operas and all the other rubbish that's on television to brainwash them and program them into having the mental faculties of a potato. And they just don't look around. They don't care. They think it's all about youth. It's all about looking pretty. It's all about the stuff that you wear and the stuff you buy and the latest fashions and which football team is winning. And these people are simply marching along through life with blinkers on, and they're allowing the country that they live in to be destroyed around them. And very soon, they're going to find that they're drinking polluted water in the cities because they didn't pay attention to what was going on in the country. And this is a really, really serious situation that we face, folks. And the criminality of the Australian government and the utter disregard for law of the Australian police is absolutely shocking. And it is one of the biggest problems that we face. And that's why the only way we can address this situation is through people power. Sheer weight of numbers, folks. That's how we can address this situation. And if we don't have that weight of numbers and that respectful community that's willing to stand up and do something to protect the national security of their country, then we're going to lose this fight. Now, I don't like to say that. I don't like to even suggest that. I don't like to put that idea out there. I don't even like to suggest the possibility that we may lose the fight. But when I look around me, I simply have to face facts. I can't look at the world through rose-coloured glasses all the time. I have to really call a spade when I see it. And what I see happening in Bentley and the destruction that this has the potential of causing, I mean, this well in Bentley, folks, this may lead to the end of the entire Northern Rivers area of New South Wales. This is one of the most fertile places on earth. This is one of the most paradisical places on earth. I've traveled a lot, ladies and gentlemen, and the Mount Warning caldera, the Wollumbin caldera, the Byron Bay, northern New South Wales area of Australia is one of the best places in the world to be. And this area has the potential of facing absolute destruction at the hands of the coal seam gas industry, an industry which does not serve the interests of anybody. The only thing it serves is the economic model that our criminal, scumbag, terrorist, moronic government promotes so much. And I'm really sick of these people, folks, and I have no problem naming them for what they are, because they are terrorists. Tony Abbott, you're a terrorist. You're a terrorist, you're a treacherous, treasonous criminal, and a disgrace to your office, and you should be not only dismissed, but put in jail. Because the environmental terrorism that you're inflicting upon the people of this country is paramount, it is a crime against humanity, and you are a scumbag, as is every single politician or police officer in this country that enforces one word you say. And that's the bottom line. And if the people of this country don't do something about it, then this man is going to destroy this country. And the problem is, though, that it isn't only this man. It's actually the people this man works for, which is not the people of Australia. It's the corporate whores that he works for. And the other side of the problem is, of course, that it doesn't matter which politician is in place. They all work for the same people. They're all sociopaths. They're all liars. And none of them give one single damn about the future of this country. That's the bottom line. So there's no point even getting rid of Tony Abbott and voting in someone else. We need to get rid of the entire political system and replace it with something that works. Because if we don't, what we're doing is allowing people to kill us because they wrote words on a piece of paper that we believe mean something. And we believe these words have the ability to affect our lives. That's the problem, folks. They're legislating that they can rape the country and impoverish and steal everything from the people, and we have to say it's okay because it's apparently law, in inverted commas. Well, it's not law. What it is environmental terrorism, social terrorism, and the impoverishment and discarding of all the people of this country. And when you look at it from a corporate perspective, folks, of course, it makes perfect sense to discard all the people of this country. I mean, what have we got here? We've got 26 million people. This is less than one city in United States or in Europe, so the people of Australia don't really matter. We can get rid of 26 million people. Hey, the world's overpopulated anyway. It doesn't really matter what happens to these people. They're insignificant in the scheme of things. What actually matters about Australia is that it is a very, very resource-rich mine where we can get all sorts of materials, and it doesn't matter how many people or things we destroy to do it, because it makes good economic sense to do so, and it even makes good economic sense to allow the people of Australia to simply die off. And that's what's going on, folks. That's what our politicians think of us. That's what the whole global corporate system thinks of us. And the only thing that is going to turn it around is if the people of Apathralia become apathetic no more and actually stand up for themselves and hold the criminal scumbags in office accountable for their actions. That's the only way we're going to change things, folks. So the question really comes down to the individual. And the question is, where is your line in the sand? How much are you going to allow this government to push you before you decide it's time to stand your ground? We don't even have to push back. We just have to stand our ground and get the numbers required to hold these people accountable for their actions. And if the Supreme Court won't do it, if the High Court won't do it, if the Hague won't do it, then we form a grand jury and we do it ourselves. But as I said earlier, folks, the real problem, the biggest problem we're facing in this with the coal seam gas industry is the actions of the police. The fact that the police are being used as security guards for companies that are destroying groundwater in this country is absolutely amazing. The fact that the police are so stupid that they would do this is absolutely amazing. That's the thing. I mean, I knew that they lowered the intellectual profile of police officers, but how stupid can these people be that they are going to allow their country to be destroyed in order to support an economic model? And they think they're actually doing the right thing or something. I mean, it's incredible. Just think about it. In another 10 years from now, once all these pipelines are in place and all these wells are in place, all of these cops will be out of a job and all of their families will be dispossessed, all their groundwater will be polluted, their country will be destroyed, and they'll be able to sit back and say, yeah, well, I did that. I protected this entire system of destruction as it was put in place because some sociopath that I voted into office to look after me wrote these words on a piece of paper and I thought they were real. And so I worked to protect the destruction of the country at the whim of somebody else. How stupid are these people, folks? That's the problem. And that is a real problem. The fact that there's going to be 600 riot police there when they bring the wellhead in at Bentley to protect this instrument of destruction and, in fact, destroy groundwater and thereby commit treason against their nation, this is absolutely amazing that our police have actually been coaxed into doing this, that they've been trained and programmed into believing that what they're doing is right and what they're doing is upholding the law, when what they're actually doing is breaking the law and destroying the most valuable thing in their country. It's incredible, folks. It's really, really incredible, and it's a huge problem. You know, how do we deprogram these people? How do we get the police to actually do their job instead of just defending corporate corruption? How do we get them to even think that way? And you try to talk to them, and it's like talking to a wall. They're sitting there, they've got all this electronic equipment over them that's feeding all of these microwave frequencies into their tiny little brains and programming them and telling them to be a good, violent little drone. It's almost impossible to get through to these people. And that's the issue that we face here in this country. It's a huge issue. And that's why we need people power. We need the weight of numbers. We need thousands upon thousands of people to be showing up at these blockades. We really do. At the Bentley protest, there were 3,000 people there one morning when they thought the wellhead was coming. And that's a beautiful thing to see. But we need even more than that. We need the people of this country to wake up and realize what is happening here, because we're losing this country. It's being stolen from us right out from under our grasp, right beneath our noses, right out from under our fingertips, however many ways I can say it. It's happening right now, and people are too distracted looking at the television to notice what's going on right outside their windows. And for anyone who's listened to my show over the last 6 or 7 years, you know that I'm not one to scream fear at people. I'm not one to cry wolf. I'm not one to look on the dark side. I've always tried to present information to people in an empowering way. But I'm seeing a real issue with complacency in this country, and there is a certain urgency in people actually standing up and addressing this problem now. It's got to be done now, folks. It really has, because the focus of coal seam gas mining on the northern rivers in New South Wales has been done for a specific reason, folks. It's because the northern rivers area is a very conscious area. You get people in the city saying, oh, they're just all hippies up there, don't worry about them. But it's not, they're not hippies, folks. These are very, very conscious people. Sure, there's an amount of hippies in the hills in the area. I mean, there is everywhere that it's nice. But the fact is that this is a very, very conscious and awake area. It's an area where you can buy more organic food than anywhere else in Australia. You have a lot of conscious people, you have a lot of activism, and you have a lot of people who are willing to stand up against this government. We still have a reasonable amount of freedom in this area of the country. And that's why they focused it on here first. They want to take this area out first, because if they can collapse the Northern Rivers activism, then they can collapse all activism in this country. And that's why we really, really need to get on the case. And I say we work at dissolving and dismissing this entire government, because I don't think there is anybody in this country who is confident in this government's ability to govern. And rather than voting them out and voting in a new set of criminals, I think we all need to stand up and express an absolute loss of confidence in this government's ability to do its job and dismiss a lot of them. And not only that, but also take steps to hold certain people accountable for their actions. I think we should go back through the annals as well and hold people from previous positions accountable for their actions, and certainly people such as John Howard. I think we should definitely look into the crimes of the Howard government and hold not only John Howard accountable for his actions, but also every politician that worked in his government who supported the introduction of this toxic industry and allowed it to gain a foothold in this country in the first place. That, of course, would also include Tony Abbott, our current Prime Minister, because Tony Abbott was, of course, a member of the Howard regime for many years. And no doubt little Tony has had foreknowledge of this Chinese invasion of our gas fields for a great amount of time and has never done anything about it. I would suggest that's probably why he clawed over everybody to gain the position of Prime Minister that he now has, so he can oversee the last pieces of destruction from the previous regime that he was a part of. Did you know that the Australian Prime Minister is the highest paid world leader as well, folks? Did you know that? That the Australian Prime Minister actually makes more money than the President of the United States, which is pretty amazing considering we're a large country with a very small population. I would suggest it's because the Prime Minister of Australia needs to be absolutely brutal. You have to have absolute psychotic lunatics at the helm in this country, because you've got to have people who are prepared to discard the entire population of this country in order to turn the place into an open-cut mine. And that's why they pay them the big bucks. And I really don't think the people of Australia truly grasp what's going on here with the mining and with the coal seam gas. As I said, the Howard regime has already pre-sold all of this gas to China, so there's no way the government can back out of this deal. And there's no way the Australian people can stop the government from carrying out this coal seam gas mining. That's why they're bringing 600 riot police to the installation of a wellhead, because there's no way they can back out of this deal. And the only way we can ever get out of this deal is for the people of Australia to dismiss their government. But then what will happen if we do that? What happens to relationships between Australia and China when suddenly we don't give them the gas that they've already paid something like $50 billion for? Do we end up going to war with China? Is this another reason why the US military base is being built in the Northern Territory? And is this another reason why the Abbott government has just purchased 7 drones to patrol Australia's coastline? As I said, we've got major things going on here. We've got this huge oil find in Cooper Pedy, which has been made after this gas deal was signed. So that's sweetening Australia up for the future as well. I mean, there's other ways we could have done things. Had the government, the previous governments, known that oil was there, there was different ways they could have done things. Not that they would have passed any wealth down to the Australian people anyway, because the Australian people don't matter. They're not part of the equation. But we really are facing a serious situation here, folks, because if we renege on the gas deal, then we risk going to war with a very powerful nation that we owe a lot of money to and that we have signed international contracts with. Not us, but the scumbags that we elected to act on our behalf, who abused their power and sold the country out from under our feet. Scumbags such as John Howard. Mr. Magoo himself has done this, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, folks. Mr. Magoo himself has not only sold the country out from under your feet, but then he disarmed you so that there's nothing you can do about it. And as a result of his actions, now here in 2014, Australia is in a state of absolute crisis. Its population and its future and its water table and everything good and clean and healthy and prosperous about this country stands on the verge of being destroyed by the actions of the government itself, the government that the people employ to look after things for them. The people that we entrust our future to are doing this, folks. They're not looking for other ways out. They're not seeing if they can change the gas deal with China and turn it into an oil deal. They're not doing this because they don't want the people of Australia to know about the deals that they've made. They don't want the people of Australia to know that all this gas has been pre-sold. They don't want the people of Australia to ever realize the gravity of their situation. Not before it's too late. Because once it's all in place, once the wells are all in place, and once the gas has been piped out of the country, it will be too late. We will destroy the water in this country, the groundwater in the Great Artesian Basin. It may take a few years for it to seep right through the entire country, but it will because all of the aquifers are connected. And once they pollute the groundwater in the country, then they pollute the country. That's the end of life in this country. People will start getting very sick. It may take a generation to depopulate the country, but the country will be depopulated simply through the pollution of the groundwater that this industry will ensure happens. Make no mistake about it, folks, this industry will ensure that the groundwater in this country is contaminated, because that's what it's done everywhere it's been, and there is ample proof to show that it does contaminate groundwater. And like I said previously, and as I've said on many occasions, this industry is useless anyway. It's unnecessary. It's not needed. If they were doing it for economic reasons, then they would simply exploit the 233 billion barrels of oil that have been found in the Arkaringa Basin underneath Cooper Petey. That's enough oil to supply Australia with oil for the next 200 or 300 years, and to completely cancel out our national debt, to raise the standard of living in this country significantly, and ensure a very prosperous and very viable future for the people of this country. We could grow significantly from that point. We could grow our population. We could start fertilizing desert areas and making them arable and making them livable. We could do all sorts of things with the money that we could obtain and the economic growth we could have by exploiting that oil field. And the fact that the government isn't even mentioning the oil field to the people and they're pushing ahead with this gas operation really should create a reason for people to step back and ask why. Why are they pushing the gas so much when we don't need it for our economy, we don't need it for our future, and it is obviously going to damage our country to a degree that will probably be irreparable, well, at least irreparable in the foreseeable future. And it will be irreparable and remain that way for generations upon generations to come. It will be many, many hundreds of years, possibly even thousands of years, before people will be able to extract pure water from this country once the Great Artesian Basin is destroyed. So what is the real reason for this pushing of the coal seam gas industry? Well, folks, as I said, it's because of the deal that's already been signed with China, and the fact that China is a very powerful country. It's not very far from here, and we are a long way from anywhere else. The reason this coal seam gas is being pushed ahead, the reason the water table is being destroyed, the reason we can't stop it by any political means, is ultimately, folks, because of John Howard's government and deals that that government made. That's why you can't blame the current government. You can work to help them stop it and pressure them to stop it. You can blame them for not stopping it, but they can't. Like I said, their hands are tied. It's John Howard that's done all of this. And he's got his retirement, he's got all of his money, and he's run off to the bank. God knows where he's living now, but I would bet my bottom dollar that it isn't in Australia. I imagine he has left the country by now because he knows where things are going. And he also likely knows that his name is going to come up and people are going to want to point the finger at him because he is the one who allowed this industry to gain hold. Well, not just him, but every sociopath that he had working for him as well. And as I said, that also includes our current Prime Minister, Mr. Tony Abbott. And honestly, folks, removing this man from office and holding him accountable for his actions should also be a major priority for every thinking, caring and intelligent person in this country. So yes, we have a real situation here, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. And it's time for the people around the world to step up to the plate and start addressing these issues. But of course, we've got to address them in the correct way. As hard as it is to maintain a peaceful composure, we have to do so. We can't do things violently because there is an incredibly corrupt media in place in all of our countries, and any act of self-defense, any act of aggression will be seen as an act of violence and will be spun by the media, and you'll be painted as an extremist, and the police, who usually are the ones who create and start the violence and who are the most violent members of our society, will again be painted as angels protecting the poor brain dead people in the city who have to hide away from the terrible extremists in the country who are trying to protect the water for them. This is the way things will be painted. So as difficult as it is to do, it's imperative that people maintain a peaceful stance when addressing this situation. But don't back down to them. Don't succumb to authority. And understand that what you are doing is a matter of national security. Every person who is defending the groundwater in this country is doing their civic duty and defending their nation against an enemy. The unfortunate thing is that the enemy that is attacking this nation is corporatism, and it is corporatism that is being promoted by our governments. Unfortunately, because our governments are also corporate entities. That's the way it works. One corporation scratches another corporation's back. And that's what our governments are, folks. They're corporations. And that's why they're supporting this corporate rape of our country. But do not back down to these people, and never doubt yourself that what you are doing is the right thing, because defending this country against the destruction of the water table is everybody's civic duty, and any politician who is supporting coal seam gas is guilty of treachery, sedition, and treason against their nation, because through their actions they are promoting the destruction of the most valuable resource this country has, the most life-giving substance this country has, and the one thing that is necessary for survival in this country, which is a desert nation, and that is groundwater. We cannot permit this attack against our country, and we cannot permit the destruction of our groundwater, and that's the bottom line, folks. So it's time to stand up against this corrupt system, and it's time for people to do the right thing. But that is it for me, ladies and gentlemen. We've now reached the end of the show. I know it's been a very intense show today, but we are really facing some serious issues here, folks, and it's important that people pay attention. But that is it for me. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the Crow House. There's still a week to go in the Indiegogo campaign, which has been launched by a friend in an attempt to keep this show on the air. Because I really am running out of funding, folks, it's becoming very difficult to maintain things, so it would be great if people can help out. If you can't, well, you can't. That's just the way it goes. But if I do disappear from the airwaves, do save the shows. Do attempt to implement some of this action into your life, and do know that you can make a difference, because we all can if we continue to take the moral high ground. But that is it for me now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh, ladies and gentlemen, in Lakesh.